It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Hockey in the middle of the desert? Hockey in Las Vegas? Could that possibly happen? Well, the sport grew from a few avid players to the first-time pro players suited up at Caesars Palace to the triumph of the world champion Golden Knights. My guest is Richard Gubby. He's author, along with Robert Lawson, of Vegas Hockey, Vegas Strong, published by BookBaby and available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the usual places. The book details the history of hockey in Las Vegas, untold stories, including humorous anecdotes, failures, successes, and never-seen photos. And Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ira.
Well, you have quite the background. Why don't you share with our viewers and listeners a little bit about your background before we delve into the world of hockey in Las Vegas?
Well, I'm a journalist by trade, and I started out in the working your way up world of editing and writing in different small newspapers, mostly around the Midwest. After two cold winters in Green Bay, I looked for a warm climate, and I looked at some jobs out in Vegas. And I took a job at the Las Vegas Sun, which people told me I was insane to do because I was in the USA Today training regimen for going to Arlington, Virginia. And I said, I'd rather go to Vegas. And I started there. And as you know, the Sun had kind of a wild and woolly reputation in those days. I was certainly happy I did. Then I got a call from Caesars after writing a story, believe it or not, about ice skating and the Olympic champions at Caesars. And they offered me a job. And only an idiot would turn that down. So I jumped to Caesars a couple of years later. And they trained me not only was I their lead writer, they trained me in doing special events. And boy, was that quite an awakening and quite an experience career-wise. And personally, it was very gratifying and satisfying. And some of the events I got to work with, starting in boxing with Debbie Munch. And then I did the Knievel jump, which no one wanted to do because they were afraid Robbie was going to crash and burn. So they wanted me to go and tell the whole world that he died. Well, Robbie didn't die.
Right.
And Robbie was very good. And it kind of propelled me into, gee, the guy can do this. And so when the Kings were signed to do this game with the Rangers, they said, well, Gubby's an old hockey guy, so let's do that. And I said, well, you know, I would love to have this event. I mean, who wouldn't want to work with Wayne Gretzky and Larry Robinson and Dave Taylor? And as it turns out, Ira, this was the first time that professional players put blades on ice when the night before we did a media skate, a kind of a amateur skate with little kids. And it was a promotional deal. And I learned in those days that you promote an event in Vegas because all the tourists are here. So you gear all your advertising and your promotions to the last minute. Well, at the last minute, we had like 15,000 people buy tickets to this event. If anything, the only times I got in trouble at Caesars was over-promoting. There was
a near riot
in the Olympic Casino getting tickets, and, you know, it turned out to be great. But at 10 o'clock in the morning, the day of the game, I got a call in my office saying you need to get down to the rink, which we had built outdoors, as you know, and this was in September, so it was very hot. And they said, there's a problem. And I said, no, don't tell me that. So I went down there, and some guy from the ice manufacturing company, don't know why, decided to drop we had a net over the rink to keep it from the sun from burning the ice. and he dropped the whole tarp onto the ice and melted it into a puddle. This is hours before game time.
Amazing.
And Bob May, who was the head of the ice company the NHL recommended for this, and that we paid a lot of money for, and I don't think I ever heard a guy swear so much in my life. And I asked him one question, can you fix it? And he said, yeah, yeah, I can fix this. And he did. And the NHL approved it, where it had been unapproved in Tampa and other places, that you couldn't, they couldn't make the ice playable in an outdoor setting.
You had wild days at you had wild days at Caesars, and we'll have to throw out a shout out to Phil Cooper as well.
Well, Phil was a big part of that, especially the amateur skate the night before. Phil and I are still good friends. He's in the book a lot because Phil had a lot to do with the Thunder. But Phil, you know, he worked so hard with me on that event. It was kind of a double team, and we had so much fun. I mean, working with those guys, especially the amateur skate. And I got to go out there with those guys. Michael Bryan from KKLZ was also in the group. And you know, there weren't a lot of media guys who could put their skates in those days. So we had so much fun doing that. And, you know, after we fixed the ice, the game went so well, of course, until these grasshoppers slash locusts, whatever you want to call them, who come in every so many years, decided, hey, let's jump on the ice.
Yeah, of course.
They did that without, of course, asking, you know, us for permission to skate, of course. And it got a little crazy because Pelle Rudy in goal was like slapping, you know, these things out of his way. And Wayne Gretzky is skating over him and scored a goal, actually, in the third period.
Well, jumping from that to the book, how did the two of you, Bob Lawson has a wonderful history with
hockey. Well, that came right after that.
Yeah, how did the two of you get together to write the book, though?
Well, Bob came to Vegas because the Santa Fe opened an ice rink after that. They figured maybe with the, you know, skating and, you know, all this could work here. And Sue Loudon built an ice rink at the Santa Fe that was very, very good. And so they had a team called the Aces. And Bob heard about me from the Caesars game and asked me to help do promotions. And that was just so much fun. And then he had some guys come in town who wanted to start a roller hockey team. And that's, I'm wearing the Flash jersey right now, which was roller hockey with professional NHL players and Russians and all there are so many insane things. And Kenny Morrow, who won four straight Stanley Cups with the Islanders after winning a gold medal on the Olympic champion, the Olympic Miracle on Ice team. Well, so I was working with Bob so much, and we kept contact over the years. And he called me up a year and a half ago, and he said, Gubby, we're going to write a hockey book. And I said, well, he said, I got so much stuff, and you have so much stuff, and we have so many funny stories. We just don't want to make it a historical book. We want to make this fun. And Bob's a very gregarious kind of Barnum and Bailey's type guy. He made hockey work in the desert at the Santa Fe by putting on like everything from beer and casino specials and putting this team that basically kind of rivaled the Thunder. They didn't have the talent, but boy, they had the fans. And so we were very successful in bringing in some players who were really entertaining. It wasn't just hockey. So Bob said, let's do this book. We had photos. We had my stuff from Caesars, the Aces, the Flash. Bob's dad started amateur hockey in Las Vegas, which is now in the hundreds of thousands of kids, you know, who have come through the program over the years. And so all of that was laid the foundation. Everybody thinks the Golden Knights were the start of hockey here, which wasn't true.
No, they weren't. That's correct. But the Vegas Golden Knights, though, really took it to the next level. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because your book covers all of the history of hockey, and it's a fascinating history. But were you surprised, given your background, of the success of the Vegas Golden Knights? And also, did the Cup in Six vision become reality sooner than you thought, later than you thought? Were you amazed when that was even
Was so much faster than anybody ever could comprehend, because the NHL changed their NHL entry draft for an expansion team. And so they made it so you weren't having a bunch of bums that teams didn't want anymore, or salaries they were trying to dump. And teams also made mistakes. They left, like, Marc-Andre Fleury unprotected, who was a cup winner, and all these other guys that they said, you know, their scouting was excellent. You know, Bill Foley brought in, all these pros that really knew hockey. You know, he didn't just jump in here and say, oh, great, I got a team. What people don't know is that Jerry Bruckheimer, a few years earlier, would have had an NHL team had there not been a recession in 2008, because he pulled out. He was going to build a rink behind Bally's, then Bally's. And that fell through, or we wouldn't have the Golden Knights. So that's another story that's in the book. So the Golden Knights had this opportunity, but then came, of course, you know, the October shootings, and the city was just, devastated by that. And here come the Golden Knights, and they just picked everything up, and they started winning instantly. They won their first so many games. And so it wasn't just, oh my God, well, it's an expansion team. And they went sellout after sellout after sellout, which everybody, Ira, I don't know if you know this, but there were 30 failed professional teams in this town before the Golden Knights came along. Hockey, basketball, anything from tennis, football, as you know.
Right.
All these teams didn't make it, after a while, either poor management or it just wasn't a good idea in the first place.
Bill Foley had the vision to and the follow through to make it work. That's the fascinating part to me. And in reading the book, I mean, when I first heard about hockey, I'm not a hockey now. I am, but I wasn't a hockey fan prior to Vegas Golden Knights. So the idea of establishing a professional hockey team in Las Vegas sounded like a pipe dream initially to me. But clearly, it has succeeded, and my wife and I enjoy going to the Vegas Golden Knight games. It's a whole different dynamic here than I'm sure it is in other cities with their teams. And I think, too, Richard, you may agree with this or may not, but because it's such an organic team to Las Vegas, that has an impact as well. Certainly, after the shootings, that had a major impact, but it's also the fact that it's a Vegas-born team.
Well, you had to overcome a couple major obstacles. First of all, the only reason that Rich Rose got the Caesars game in is because he went to the Kings and not the NHL, because the NHL detests gambling, always had, always will. Well, they wanted no inkling at all of having a crooked sport. And so you had this going for him. But what Foley did that was pretty amazing is he went out and sold all these season tickets, for these people to say, we're going to make it work, because there were all those doubts. Like you said, nobody thought hockey in the desert. I mean, come on. So he sold all those tickets. And then the NHL said, hey, wait a minute. You know, they could have given the franchise to Seattle, which they did eventually get a franchise. But they had this, now we really have to take a look at this. And so gambling was kind of pushed aside. And besides, Ira, there's gambling, as you know, everywhere. When you first came to this town, Vegas was it. I mean, everybody thought in Deadwood, South Dakota came along that the proliferation of gambling was going to hurt Las Vegas, which was silly, right? And, everybody was worried, oh, my gosh, when I was at Caesars, is something, are we going to lose it? No. I mean, look at it. Look what happened. And so now you've got every pro franchise, every major league in the country, from soccer, baseball now, obviously, you got basketball is huge here. The Raiders coming to town. it's become not just the entertainment capital of the world, but now they're calling it the sports capital of the world.
Yeah, it used to be
gambling secondary.
Yeah, it used to be entertainment capital of the world. It used to be convention capital of the world. And I guess we can have more than one title here, which makes sense. Did you when you were researching the book, and you really didn't have to do too much research between you and your co-author because you guys know all this stuff, but did you find anything out that you didn't know before about the Vegas Golden Knights or the history of hockey?
Yes, because we started interviewing people like Steve Stallworth, who you know from the Orleans and the Thomas and Mack. Steve was big in bringing in franchises. He brought in the Wranglers. He told us stories like you wouldn't believe that happened to the Wranglers. He and Darren Lebanati, who worked at Thomas and Mack, told us all about the demise of the Thunder, how what went wrong there. They started out really well. And then all of a sudden, wow, what happened? And that was because of bad management and poor promotion and people assuming that, okay, now they're we opened the doors, see. And the Flash had great promotion and great fans, but terrible ownership. So you had all these different stories that went into it, you know. And you know, yeah, we had our own. We had, you know, Penny Morrow coming here from winning the cup and coming here was a big thing. And, you know, we saw, I was in Vancouver when we played the Voodoo in a roller hockey game, and it turned into an international incident because the Voodoo didn't like Russians, didn't like Russian players. And so there was this massive fight. It was worse than Slapshot. And I saw Kenny Morrow get kicked out of the only game in his career. It will be the only game he ever gets kicked out of in his life. He still is a pro scout and scouts the Golden Knights. So we had all these different stories. The Russians getting arrested for stealing lingerie. We're not sure why they stole it, but should have been for their girlfriends in Russia, we hope. But they got kicked out of apartments here because they were so crazy. They tore up downtown a lot. They were big party boys. Slava Fetisov was one of our owners at the Flash. And so he had all these connections in Russia. So you had all these different, you had the Aces with people like Myron Freund and other guys. You know, Myron had lost an eye in a game and put that back in and played the next day, you know. You had guys that did all these different things. That we uncovered a lot of other stories we didn't know. We had, you know, the ownership of the Wranglers that really weren't very good. And poor Steve, he made it work because Michael Gahn wanted it to work. You know, Michael Gahn built that hockey arena so his grandkids and his family could watch hockey. You know,
do you have the resources?
They were going to put that. Try to build a hockey rink on the top of the Union Plaza. I don't know whose bright idea that was, but that wasn't going to fly.
Now they have pickleball there now, so that works out much better.
Yeah. When
Robert called you to tell you that you two are going to write a book, and you at first maybe were reluctant, but you decided, yeah, you know what? It's probably a good story here, because between the two of us, we know all this stuff. Right. How long did it take you from beginning of the agreement to finishing the book? Was it a year or less? Or
it was how long, how much could we gather, you know, because I knew what it took to write a book. You know, I've been a journalist all my life, and there's anybody can write one, but does it mean anything, you know? And so I didn't want to write something that was like, oh, blasé. And I said, well, do we have enough stories? And Bob was like, yes, we do. So I was convinced rather quickly. The what I didn't know was how much work it was going to be, putting all that and the interviews and the stories, you know, interviewing, you know, people, journalists who were involved, former players who were involved, you know, and finding some of these NHL guys who are famous. It's, you know, you're 100 phone calls in before you get somebody.
Right.
So you know, I'm a very persistent guy. And so that was the key. You know, Bob, he had all these stories in the back of his head.
Right.
You know, and now we've uncovered so many more. He wants to do another book called The Second Period so we can write even more about this stuff, because there's some more things that we start. And we, you know, we've made a lot of friends and around the country, again, from, you know, these guys go, yeah, this is a great book. I want to be involved. In fact, Robbie Nichols, a former New York Ranger who played in the Caesars game, is doing our audio because he wants to be so involved. And Robbie now owns a baseball league on the East Coast.
Funny. Have you gotten feedback from not necessarily individuals such as you just mentioned, but from, for example, the Vegas Golden Knights as an organization, or some of the people involved with the team that have read the book and gave them a sense of perspective about the whole history of hockey as well in Las Vegas?
Yeah. You know, I think it's still permeating into the management of the Golden Knights that this is a legitimate book, because, you know, they put out a book, but, you know, that's their own history.
Right.
This is something that starts with the Gamblers in 1968 about how they brought in teams and got them drunk and then played them the next day when they had hangovers. I mean, that's, you know, stuff like that is not going to be in the Golden Knights book.
Correct.
You know, how they played at the old Crystal Palace. I don't know if you don't remember that far
back. Yeah, the Crystal Palace.
And
yes.
The Commercial Center, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they had metal grandstands and a bar. That's what they had, you know, and a bunch. And one of the players on the team had ties to an alcohol company, you know, so they were some crazy guys. And I knew some of them. When I first came here, I wanted to play. But it was too hard. You know, I would have had to rebuy all my equipment. I played in the Midwest for a while. And then, you know, I had a tryout with the Rangers, which was more journalistic than it was skill, believe me. So we had, you know, I wanted to play. I actually played at the Santa Fe for a while in a league that, you know, sprouted up after the Caesars game. So we had guys like Randy Hewerson, who is no longer with us, died of cancer years ago, who basically started a hockey store on North Rancho. And supplied all these little kids and players. Then Kilroy, the guy that owned Kilroy's the bar after the Caesars game, he started a skate at the Santa Fe that I played in, where they had a lot of pro players. And they used to use, like, I was a goalie, and they used to burn through four goalies in about 2 hours because it was so much up and down. It was like an all-star game. They didn't play defense.
So you
had all these different things sprouting up all over the city. And then the amateurs, the little kids starting. And that was huge because there were so many people who came out here. Parents, I want my kid to skate. And then, of course, now with the Golden Knights, I mean, there's leagues everywhere, you know.
I mentioned earlier on that I was surprised when the Vegas Golden Knights first started, because I couldn't imagine hockey surviving and prospering in the desert, which, of course, I was wrong. But what about you and Robert Lawson when you first heard about the Vegas Golden Knights? What was in your heads? Did you think this was going to succeed, given you both knew the history of all the previous hockey teams in town?
I had no doubt that they would. In fact, Wayne Gretzky on the TBS telecast of this year's Stanley Cup, last year's winner. He said that when I played in the game at Caesars, I had no doubt that the NHL was going to work here. And, you know, who's going to doubt the great one? So, you know, I didn't, when they said they were going to bring hockey here, I had no doubt it would work. I was not one of the doubters at all.
Same with Robert?
In fact, my regret was not buying the earliest season tickets, because I'd be rich.
Same thought with Robert as well, Robert Lawson. He also...
Yeah, Bob never had any doubt either, because, you know, he played the sport a lot and coached and was a GM of the Flint Generals when they won a title in the minors. So he knew that. He also brought in a lot of the Blackhawks to come in and do skates. And then Gretzky did all these camps or fantasy camps and so forth, still do. So there was always this in the background. There was always hockey. And then, as you know, nobody's from here. You know, everybody's from New York. Everybody's from Boston. Everybody's from Chicago. And so, you know, that's why I thought hockey had the biggest chance of everything. But, you know, in the early days, you know, when I was at Caesars and everything else, that's when I had my doubts, because I saw all these teams fail and all these money, all these owners putting money into these football leagues. So I'm like, no, those I knew were going to fold. Okay.
But were
the Thunder, I thought, had a chance.
But were you surprised at how quickly the Vegas Golden Knights took off?
I was surprised how many sellouts and how expensive the tickets are. Yes. You know, you can't get a ticket. You got to know somebody, you know, or go to the secondary market. You're going to get hiked up. So yeah, that's what I'm surprised at. It's just how hard it is to get a ticket. Now what people don't realize is hockey is a sport that crosses genders. Okay. And women love hockey. And so that, I thought, when especially when you had Marc-Andre Fleury on the team, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I want to go see Marc-Andre Fleury play. And so now you've got, you know, this gender crossing that's, you know, women love hockey. And you look in the crowd in the Golden Knights games, they're not men. A lot of, they're sure there's a lot of men. But then look harder, and there's a lot of women.
Yeah.
So that's what is going to sustain the sport. That and the fact that little kids are going to play.
Yeah.
And the little kids want dad to buy them a ticket.
What's the most surprising thing that you found in writing the book, or maybe Robert Lawson found it, or you both found it? What was the most surprising thing that you discovered in writing the book, putting all the information together? Was there one thing that jumped out at you?
Well, I would say mostly that it was the effort that people put in. I didn't realize, like, for instance, the Wranglers, how many years and how good they were. But they used promotion. I mean, they had prison night. Each team wore different prison uniforms to commemorate Rod Blagojevich going to jail in Illinois. You know, they had pajama night, where the games didn't start till midnight. I think it's the promotion of some of the things that really worked. I mean, that's why the Stars made it in baseball. They did promotion, you know, and now who knew what's going to happen to the minor league team, you know, with the A's. That's all up in the air. I think the question is now, can the A's make it? You know, can they survive off of tourists and locals coming? And I think they were smart to only build a 33,000 seat stadium, so you don't have any empty seats on the strip. I don't know if it's going to work where it's at, but we'll see what happens. But see, now you got questionable ownership. So the Golden Knights had an owner that had money, a hockey background, a military background, okay, and knew all these guys in the league that would come. Not only that, McCrimmon and these guys, and then he gets all these good coaches to come for him. And then what Cooper did, and what the Golden Knights did that was exceptionally smart, and other teams in hockey need to copy this, is all these players live out in Summerlin near the practice facility. Their wives all know each other. The players are all friends. It's a fellowship. And that's also what really made them click. Hey, we're the Misfits, you know, Island of Misfit Toys thing. Nobody wanted us. Hockey's a great motivator. That's why it's such a difficult sport, you know, is because motivation is really big into how you make, and that's what made it work here. There were so many dedicated people, not just Bob, and there were others who preceded him, but he knew them. And they brought him out from Michigan. That you know, you got to bring in talent from out of town to make this work. It wasn't just a bunch of locals who said, let's make a pro hockey thing work.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Richard Gubby. He's author, along with Robert Lawson, of Vegas Hockey, Vegas Strong. It's published by Book Baby. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all the usual places. And Richard, thanks for being on the show. And you can follow Richard in the book on Facebook. Thanks, Richard.
Thanks, Ira.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey, Las Vegas.